Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. My name is Nadia, and today is episode 5. We will be looking at a woman of great character, a woman of great intelligence, and all that we really know about her can be summed up in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And what is her name? Her name is Abigail. She is one of the most notable women in the Old Testament, a woman that we would like to emanate in our own lives just by her characteristics. And so as we discuss her, we're going to be looking at Nabal, her husband, who was a very wealthy and foolish man. And we're also going to be looking at King David. King David, of course, one of the greatest heroes in the Bible. And up to that point, he had patience and self-restraint. But in this chapter, he almost lost it and went on a murderous rampage. Anyway, many life lessons that we are going to find out and discover through the life of Abigail. So you'll want to stay with me. This is a great episode that we can all reflect on. Now, Abigail, the name Abigail, and as I've said, I guess in the previous episode when we talked about Hagar, every single name, almost every name in the Bible, many of them, the meaning behind the names usually meant how that person lived. And so what does Abigail mean? Well, Abigail means my father's joy, my father's joy. And so what's interesting is we don't know anything about Abigail as she grew up. We don't know about her childhood or who her father was, but we do know the kind of woman that she was as an adult, all the beautiful godly characteristics. And I tell you, just by the kind of woman that she was as an adult, you can tell that she brought her father joy, definitely brought him joy. There are no flaws. Actually, because I was trying to think about them, there aren't any flaws that are apparent when it comes to Abigail. You know, there's only goodness. And if we can relate her to any New Testament character, it would be Mary, Jesus's mother. She had no guile. There were no apparent flaws with her either. And this is the kind of woman Abigail was in the Old Testament. Again, a woman that we can use as our role model as to how to live. Now, when we look at the story, let's get into it. I'm going to give you a little bit of background information. So 1 Samuel 25, what is happening? Just a little bit before that, we know King Saul, the king at that time, was after David. He wanted to kill him because he was jealous of David. And so constantly pursuing him, David is running away. He ended up gathering about the 600 fighting warriors that went along with him, and they were wandering the land. And what they actually did, they were fighting various wild tribes in the wilderness. Now, at that time in that area, the crime rate was very high. Lots of things happened to travelers, and many attacks would take place. And so David and these band of warriors would often protect shepherds, and they would do that. And because that area was so dangerous, it kind of reminds me of in the New Testament when Jesus spoke about the Good Samaritan and gave the story of how the Samaritan walked down the road to Jericho. That was a very dangerous and treacherous road. Lots happened, and good enough, we know the story of the Good Samaritan. Of course, that was a parable, but it was to explain how that area was. And so that's what we are looking at. That is the background information. David is with these 600 warriors. Now let's look at verse 2. We're going to start at verse 2 of 1 Samuel 25. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him, who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, peace to all you have. Now I have heard that you have shears. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, and we will come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David. And so we'll stop right there. Now, what's interesting was it the custom of that day, the way it worked, was that if you had many animals and it was sheep shearing time, what you would do is that you would take a portion of your profits and you would give that portion to the ones who protected your shepherds, the protectors. Now, this wasn't a written law, it was customary. It was like a tip. For example, if you would go to a restaurant, you would tip a waiter. It's not mandatory, mind you, in some places it is mandatory, but that's the kind of thing that they would do back then. It was to thank them, it was to compensate them, it was to show gratitude. And so David was doing a great job, and of course he wanted some kind of payback. Well, let's just see what happens when he sent his men to speak to Nabal. Verse 10. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, who's David and who's the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I've killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from? We'll stop right there. David's men, of course, that was the message they got, and then they would go back to David to relay that message. But interestingly, as I said, Nabal was a rich man. He was loaded. He had lots of money. But we also know he was a hard man. He was stubborn. He was evil in his doings. He was not a good man. He was not respected. He was probably very dishonest. So this kind of answer that he gave, it was probably to be expected by everyone just by the kind of character that he had. Now, what he also says is he says, who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? Now, did he really maybe not know David or Jesse? I don't know. We'll find out after in the story that Abigail knew David. When we hear what she has to say, she knew of him. She knew what was going on right now and at that time in his life and what was going to happen in the future with him as king. So she knew about him, but Nabal, who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? It seemed like more like he was just brushing him off. He's nobody. I don't really care. And that's how he was dealing with this situation. Not very wise. Nabal, his name means fool. Yes, he lived up to his name. He was a fool to give this kind of answer. Why? You are looking at 600 fighting warriors who did not eat in a while, who are hungry. This is what they want. And you know how it is. You've heard the expression hangry. You're hungry and angry. So this message going back is going to make them angry, and plus they're hungry. So the outcome is not going to be good. Nabal, very foolish. Couldn't even give them a little bit of food. And how does David react to this insult? Let's just see. Verses 12. So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, every man gird on his sword. So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with supplies. Stop right there. Are you surprised how David reacted? Think about this. He took 400 men. Oh, this doesn't look very good. You know what? When you look at, it's a little bit surprising because up to this point, David is a very patient man. The chapter right before, so 1 Samuel 24, David had the opportunity to kill King Saul in the En-Gedi. Now, my husband and I were in the En-Gedi twice. In fact, beautiful area. It's an oasis in the middle of the desert. It is lush. It has waterfalls. It has many caves. You see many caves throughout the mount. And David was in a cave with Saul. He didn't even really, he could have killed him, but he says, "Oh, I will not touch the Lord's anointed." Then the very next chapter after 1 Samuel 25, this chapter 26, David had another opportunity to kill Saul. He took his spear and took a jug and said, "Hey, this stuff was right by you. I could have killed you while you were asleep." He didn't do it. Why? He didn't touch the Lord's anointed. But here in this story, somehow he sees red. This man, Nabal, you know what? He didn't like his answer, and that was it. There was rage, rage, and he was going to make a huge mistake. But somebody very influential, oh, with you needed somebody with a cool temper. You needed somebody who was mild-mannered to diffuse the situation. And who is that? This beautiful woman, Abigail. Now you got to remember, Abigail was beautiful and she was wealthy. She was wealthy. She had the two things that people nowadays all want, seem to want in today's society. They want to look beautiful. They want to have money. But you know what? She didn't put that in front of her. That was not even of any importance to her. What was important to her was her character, wisdom, humility. And you know what? Before honor, there must come humility. Remember that, ladies. Here we see that she was exalted just by how she behaved in this entire scene. And we will see how she behaved. Now, verse 14. One of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, both by night and day, all the time we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a scoundrel that no one can speak to him." Wow, we're going to continue. Verse 18. Abigail, she made haste. The Bible says she wasted no time. Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me. See, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. We'll stop right there, actually. Amazing. She did not tell her husband Nabal. Now, what we see here, first of all, is that we're going to be talking about some of her godly characteristics. What do we see? We see that number one, she was approachable. She was approachable. Nabal was the master of that entire household. He was a wealthy man, had probably many servants under him, and yet it would appear that he wasn't really running the house, but she was. She had to be the human resources person because Nabal was a scoundrel. Nobody could talk to him. So clearly, the servant pointed this out, and it was futile. Ladies, have you ever talked to somebody that you can't talk to them? Let's put it that way. Sometimes you don't even bother because everything ends up in a fight. They don't listen to anything. It always goes the opposite way. They never try to make peace. It is always a fight after a fight. I think everybody knows somebody like that. A Nabal almost that doesn't see it, just gets defensive, doesn't want to hear truth. And this is what Nabal was, not approachable. She was approachable. Anybody can come and talk to her because of the kind of spirit she had, the kind of person she had, she was. Jesus, the same way, we can always tell it to Jesus. It doesn't matter what our situation is, doesn't matter what our background is, doesn't matter what we did in the past, doesn't matter. He is always approachable. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. We can come before him. It doesn't matter. In John chapter 8, when we think about the woman who was caught in adultery, Jesus says, "Where are your accusers?" And she says, they've left. And he said, "I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more." Approachable. She was approachable. In contrast to Nabal, as Abigail was full of wisdom, full of grace, anybody can talk to her. What else do we see? We see that she acted quickly. She protected her husband quickly. Let me tell you something. She, right away, when the servant said, you know, consider what to do. Oh no, right away, she knew what to do. You know, ladies, sometimes we just have to act quickly and not procrastinate. I mean, I know very often, most of the time, we need to pray about situations, but there are some 911 situations we got to operate with haste. When somebody's in need, you operate in haste. This is what she did. She operated quickly. She didn't procrastinate, and she did everything quickly. She knew her husband's weaknesses, and yet she protected him. Think about that. You know how many situations I've seen that sometimes a wife or a husband, they know each other's weaknesses, and what do? They use those weaknesses to pit against each other. They use it against each other instead of building each other up, instead of understanding, you know what, that person's weak in that. I'm going to pick up the slack. I'm going to help out. I'm going to do it. You know, iron sharpeneth iron. And it's so important that when our husbands are weak in certain areas, we have to fill in. And that's exactly what she did. She saw, okay, this is not a situation for him to handle. I have to handle it. And she did so with haste. And what's interesting is she didn't even tell Nabal. Now, ladies, don't get all excited, because sometimes I've seen women say, well, you know, this is a great scripture that we can use. Well, she was a woman of God. She didn't tell her husband what was going on. So I don't need to tell my husband everything. Well, you should tell your husband everything. Absolutely. This was a different situation. This was an emergency situation. This was something that, you know, what needed to be done. Otherwise, death was looming. So she did this. She did this. She was a princess that was married to a toad. You have to realize that. Poor Abigail. I mean, here was this wonderful woman married to this very evil and harsh man, and she probably did not choose him. As we know, back then, marriages were arranged, more than likely arranged when she was a child, and had to live with him all that time, and probably had no say in anything that she had to do or any of the matters. And you can imagine how much she suffered. I don't think he had special favoritism towards her. I don't think he was evil with everybody. He was probably not good to her. Ladies, what would you have done if somebody would have said to you, well, you know, somebody's coming to kill your husband, your evil husband? Some women would say, yes, the Lord has vindicated. Finally, I've suffered so much with this evil man. You know what? He had what's coming to him. He deserves it. How would you have reacted? What would you have done if you were in this situation? Would you have packed your bags and left and said, well, you know what? It looks like the whole household is going to be killed. I'm getting out of here. It's my escape route. It's my time. No, she protected her evil husband. She looked after him. Amazing. Amazing. What a support she was to him when death would have been the outcome. You know, she's truly a Proverbs 31 woman. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Let me tell you something. Abigail was a gem, even though Nabal didn't see it. She was a gem. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. Oh, I'm sure he trusted her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of his life. She does him good and not evil all the days of his life. Ladies, do you see how she had his back? This could have been a great opportunity. You have been so bad to me. You know what? You deserve this. No, she did good. You see, God sees. He's the God who sees. And he's the God who elevates. And he's the God who promotes. Promotion cometh from the Lord, We're going to see how this transpires in the story. You see how our attitudes, you see how humility, you see how doing the right thing is what God wants to see and how we live accordingly, righteously before him. This is what she did. So let's look at verse 20 as the story continues. And so it was as she rode on the donkey that she went down under cover of the hill, and there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I've protected all this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more so to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light." So he was really angry and ready to kill them all. Verse 23. Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. And so she fell at his feet and said, "On me, my lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek harm for my lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my lord an enduring house, because my lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has arisen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling." Oh, she's making reference to Goliath. "And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he's spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of the heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant." Wow, what a beautiful, eloquent, eloquent speech. Think about that, ladies. What words of wisdom. And you have to see, what do we see? What's another characteristic that we see about Abigail? She was tactful, and she acted with humility. Tact and humility. There she was. She came before him. She got off her donkey really quickly and bowed down before him. And there she was in humility. Six times she called herself your handmaiden, or maidservant rather, your maidservant, six times, and 10 times she referred to him as my lord. Your maidservant, my lord. Can you see how humble she was before him? Oh my goodness, there she was, bowing down in humility. Amazing. And he's listening to all of this. He didn't even interrupt her once. There she was, tact and humility. What do we also see? Number four, this is a huge one. She took the blame of what Nabal did. She took the blame for it. Can you imagine that? Here she says, in verse 24, she fell at his feet and said, "On me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be." Unbelievable. Ladies, real humility is taking the blame when it's not your fault. Real humility is taking the blame when it's not your fault. Isn't that true? Think about who did that for us. Who took my blame? Who took your blame when it wasn't his fault? Jesus. Jesus, he went to the cross, he stood before Pilate saying nothing when he could have said something, when he could have defended himself. There was no defense. He went willingly. He bore all our sins, all our iniquities, and went straight to the cross for us, an innocent man, for us. He took the blame. She took the blame. How amazing is that? Abigail, truly a woman of God, she truly put herself right at David's feet and said, kill me. Literally, he was going to kill Nabal. But that's what she was doing. That's how much she protected this evil man. Do you see how righteous she was? Would we have done that in her circumstance? Wow. This is my fault. Please blame me. She didn't want her husband to be touched, the household to be touched. Amazing. And you know, we live in a day and age that it's always about whose fault it is, right? Many times when you hear battles or squabbles, well, it's your fault, it's not my fault, it's your fault. It's always finger pointing and it'll go back and forth. It's all about whose fault it is, going on and on and on and on. And somebody should really just say, you know what, okay, it's my, I'll take the blame for this, but let's fix it. Let's fix it. That's the focus, is to fix it. It's not whose fault it is. It's let's fix this. Let's move on. Let's do the right thing. Fix it. This is what she did. She wasn't just a person of words and say, well, it's my fault. No, she tried to fix it. She brought donkey loads of food to try to fix the situation, to do what is right, to appease David and his anger. And she did the very right thing. Talk about wisdom. Talk about knowing what to do, discernment, and talk about protecting an evil husband. What a woman of God, truly. And that's what God is calling us to do. Sometimes in situations, you know, again, be reminded it's not whose fault it is. How are you going to fix it? How are you going to do what's right? It's not just words. Words always have to follow with action. She had the words and had the action. Amazing how she was. What else do we see about Abigail? She remained faithful, even in her bad situation. Talk about just very difficult, what she had to go through, just being married to him on a day-to-day basis. Can you imagine? We just get a little window and see what it was like for her in this situation. But imagine day-to-day when she's seeing some of his evil dealings. At the end of the day, she must have just shook her head and not believing, oh, my husband's such a fool. What is he doing with his life? And probably going to bed crying, thinking he's never going to change. But she was faithful, knowing that not going to change. She was a faithful woman. 1 Corinthians 7 says, a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, let her not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. Verse 16 says, oh, how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Oh, let me tell you something. She was there and probably knew the circumstance wasn't going to change, but she stayed committed, committed. God sees commitment. God sees faithfulness. He is the God who sees. Just remember that, ladies. He is the God who sees. So always do what is righteous. Always do what is right. What else do we see? We notice also her faith and her spiritual insight. What a wonderful characteristic that she had. Faith and spiritual insight. You know, as she was talking, she spoke about the Lord. She spoke about the fact that here was David. And Nabal claimed not to have known him. Nabal didn't know who he was, apparently, but she knew. She knew who David was. She knew what David was going through. And she knew that David would one day be anointed as king. And she also persuaded David, don't do this, because you know what? This is going to affect you. Let it not be. Wow. Talk about faith. She must have had some kind of prayer closet behind the scenes that we don't know of, that we don't see, but something was going on. And so much so, verse 31 says that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my lord, either that you shed blood without cause, or that my lord has avenged himself, but the Lord has dealt well with my lord, then remember your maidservant." So she's trying to say, you know what, David, just keep yourself, protect yourself from any bloodshed. Do the right thing. You see, she was almost pointing and saying, vengeance is not the Lord's. Look what Proverbs 20:22 says. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. Literally, this is the kind of wisdom and counsel that Abigail, this wonderful woman, was giving David, to which he thoroughly listened. Wait upon the Lord. Don't do this. Just wait. Maybe he had every right to be upset. Wait. And you know what? That verse is also for her, because Nabal dealt, you know, in an evil aspect with her too. And so she just waited upon the Lord. She didn't run away. She didn't say, hey, David, yeah, come kill my husband. She waited. And we're going to see. We're going to stop right there, because there's a couple of more aspects and there's some life applications that I'm going to talk to you next time. Next time in part two of Abigail. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you and we give you praise and glory. We thank you for this incredible story of Abigail. Lord Jesus, we want to be Abigail. We want to be that kind of woman who almost appeared flawless, who had no guile, and who always stood to do the right thing. Father, show us those blind spots within our own lives. Maybe there are times when we get angry, that we get out of control, almost like David did. And Lord, we were saved by your intervention of not doing something worse. Lord, we just want to have our tongues bridled by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, our thoughts bridled by your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we just want to have the character of God within our lives. And so, Lord, as we reflect on what we learned today, Lord, just teach us to be who you are calling us to be. Help us to be like Abigail in the Bible, in doing the right thing, in honoring our husbands, in honoring the people around us, in being the ones to diffuse situations when they get hot and overheated. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Lord, that you have taken all our blame to the cross. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God, ladies. So join me next time as we discuss more of Abigail and look at some of the incredible life applications that we will learn from this story. And until then, remember to make this day count in the kingdom of God. May the Lord richly bless you and your families. See you next time. God willing.